Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. So good to have you here. And let's just stretch out our hands towards Cheryl. She's a gift to the body of Christ and to us today. Lord, we just want to say thank you for her life. Thank you for bringing her here. Thank you for what she's written, who she is. They're pastoring for 27 years in helping people. And we just bless her and welcome her here in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. I'm grateful to be here this morning and grateful to Stephen Roach and Sarah Roach and Breath in the Clay. What a wonderful group and experience, a space. Thanks to Pastor Matt and the hospitality of this house that you've given to all of us. I'm thankful to Perry and Joy and the hospitality of their wonderful home and their children. You have spread a gracious table for all of us. And it used to be in the ancient church that one of the key marks for determining who was a follower of Christ and who wasn't was hospitality. If they show hospitality, then they must be a true believer. It was a sign of the ancient Christians. We kind of have lost that, haven't we? Really have. It's like our homes, we don't see them as places where we minister from and in. Rather, it's almost like we see ourselves retreating there. And that can be good, but it also can be somewhat binding to us and to the world. Before I preach this morning, I want to give you just a little bit about what I believe about the Word of God and the preaching and teaching of the Bible. For me, the Word of God is, let's hyphenate it, spirit word. A while back, they got divorced, and that was a costly divorce. But spirit married to word, so that when you preach and teach and read the Bible and study the Bible, spirit and word come. And there is like a portal that opens up. Traditionally, we have said it like, well, I'm going to preach this word, and you take it, and Holy Spirit will kind of whisper it in your heart, and then you go out and apply it, right? See, that's not right. So what I want us to do this morning, I want us to enter into a space, a communicative zone, that in the reading and in the preaching of the word, it becomes alive, and that we enter into a wonderland. Father, Son, and Spirit are coming. And they said, we will dwell with you. We will make our home with you. So that the Word of God becomes this multidimensional space. So I pray for that. Pastor Matt was praying this morning for the presence. Without real presence, the Word is not real. It's real presence in the Word of God. Would you stand with me? I'm going to read then the word this morning. Song of Songs, chapter 2. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs. The vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my fair one, and come away. This is the word of the Lord. Can you say thanks be to God? Let's do that again. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If I were to title my sermon today, it would be The Wonderland. You know, there's that song, Your Body is a Wonderland. I'm preaching from Song of Songs. You may want to get the kids out of the room today. Pretty explicit here. But, you know, it's a wonderland. The Bible is a wonderland. Our body is a wonderland. The world is a wonderland. Christian life is a wonderland. And, you know, I think that there's nothing quite a wonderland like a newborn baby. There is something that a newborn baby has, this scent. I've never smelled it ever on anything else but a newborn baby. You know what I'm talking about? And it dissipates after about a month. But during that time, it's like you're smelling the freshness and the newness of life. That's such a unique smell. Every child born is Emmanuel with a little e, God with us. Every child born is a representation of the very breath and spirit of God. Every child born is a wonderland. Every child born is a gift. And isn't it wonderful when you pick that baby up and you begin to do what the psychologist Winnicott said, mirroring. Now, this is very important. Children who have been raised in orphanages and who miss this have some severe deficit to make up because the baby doesn't know who they are. They don't even know where their body ends and the world begins. They don't know much about themselves. And so the first thing they start looking for is the face. And then when that caregiver, usually the mother, but often the father too, picks up that baby, there is this phenomenon. You know what I'm talking about? And you grab the eyes. And then you start talking, and the baby starts look. And there's this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's so delightful. So the baby is saying, who am I? Who am I? And the caregiver is saying, oh, you're beloved. You're wonderful. I delight in you. I could just kiss all over your body. I could just smell you and squeeze you and kiss your face all the time. And this baby is, for the first time, experiencing a sense of self. I am held. I am loved. I can trust. If I need someone, their face will come before me. What a wonderful thing. Just what a wonderful thing. This mirroring, this sense of intense devotion too. It picks back up again in life around adolescence, young adulthood. And no longer is the face of the caregiver good enough. And that kills the parents. Really does. And then they're looking for another face usually, right? A beloved who will say to them, oh, you are my delight. You are my beloved. I could just smell you, squeeze you. You're just so wonderful. That we call the quest for intimacy. And it's a good thing. A good thing. Even those of us who are single here, we find intimacy in families and friends. And a lot of my Catholic brothers and sisters have intimacy in their order. I know a Benedictine priest who's in his 90s, now almost 100, and he is in the brotherhood. He's in a wheelchair. He's having to be fed and cared for. And they're mirroring love and acceptance to him. So married life is wonderful. But the single life, as Paul said, that's good too. We don't elevate one over the other. You know, we're saying whatever you're called to, live in that space. But wherever you are, whatever you're called to, you're a wonderland. Your body is a wonderland. You're a wonderland. We live in a wonderland, the gift of the earth in all its beauty. We came out this morning, Perry and I and the boys, and we were just relishing in the beauty. Wasn't it wonderful? The winter is past here, as this Song of Songs says. The time for singing has come. And so I turned to the boys and I said, so what are y'all doing this afternoon? They said, we might go down to the creek. And I said, oh, yeah, I may not go home yet. We'll be down at the creek. But what a gift this earth is to us. God's life and God's gift to us. Wonder is a gift. And I think we were talking, Stephen, about wonder being more transitory. Enchantment is sort of a overall longer term thing. But wonder is such a gift, and children know how to show it to us, don't they? When they see something and they just exult and wonder, oh, look at that. And you're thinking about paying the bills and washing the dishes and getting home, and they're going, look at this, Mom, look at this. Have you ever done this? Hurry, hurry, we got to go. But they're in the wonder of something. They lead us so much into looking at what God has surrounded us with, this verdant place. We have, I think today, we call enchantment deficit disorder, but we also have wonder deficit. We really do. And how long has it been since you were overwhelmed with wonder? Ask yourself, how long has it been since I was captured by wonder? How long has it been since I was ravished with wonder? This wonder deficit is tied to relational deficit, and it's also tied to our deficit with the world. Richard Louv, in his book, Last Child in the Woods, says, you know, all of us are infected pretty severely with the virus of nature deficit disorder, NDD. We're carriers of it. Just by living in this world. He asked children, where do you like to play? And these kids didn't often say, well, down in the creek or in the woods. They said, well, I like to be near a plug-in. That's not good. Where do you like to play? Near a plug-in? This wonder deficit, you know. Technology has its own charms and its own enchantments and its own wonder, but it also can be a rabbit hole that pulls us down and not outward and upward. And have you ever been lost in scrolling? Come on, you know, I have. Have you ever been lost down in an internet rabbit hole and just going here and there and there, and before you know it, time has passed? There is another space that I think the Lord's calling us to. I just feel like, you know, during Lent, I am unplugging from social media, and I may never go back. I just want to be human again. Just want to be human again. And I found myself getting upset with things I didn't need to get upset, and having high levels of anxiety. And I underwent a couple of years ago an attack from a group of guys that really went after me, and it was real public, and it was bad. So it's not a safe space sometimes. It's just not a safe place. But I know that the world that God has given us is the world that He has called us to, and to be in a symbiotic relationship with it. One of the things that this world that God has given us with, and this I mean by human beings, other people, and the plants and the animals. My husband and I have a little farm, and we had a calf born this spring, and we sit at the breakfast table, and it just runs and runs and runs. And unfortunately, it's the only one born this spring. Usually, if there are two or three, they just go, whew, whew. They're so much fun. Or sit out on the back porch in the evening, and the owls start calling to one another. It's just so nice. And then when you hear the hawk calling, I mean, just this world that is such a wonderland. Song of Songs is a book that is just a lush, verdant book. It's a very sensual book. One that relishes in the wonderland of human love and the garden of creation. Now, is this book metaphorical, like Christ in the church? Or is it just what it says it is? A poem, a song between two lovers? Yes. It's neither either or, it's both and. That's the wonderful thing about scripture. It's kind of layers of meaning, you know? And it's like reading C.S. Lewis as a child. You got one layer, and then you read it as an adult, and you go, oh, that's what that meant, you know? There's layers of meaning. So this wonderful book is just so multi-layered. It's a song that has so much harmony. There's union. There's delight. It's a Garden of Eden. Fourth century Midrash quotes Rabbi Akiva saying this: had the Torah, the law, not been written, it would have been possible to conduct the world on the Song of Songs alone. Think about that. Paul said the law gave us a knowledge of sin, right? And then, well, we have Christ. But in the sense of the Song of Songs, it is the return to the garden. Or it portends that which we will one day be back in. Isn't that right? So this is enough. Unfortunately, it wasn't. But it should have been enough. The garden should have been enough. Love should have been enough. And we sometimes have to hear the call of the Lord saying, come away from all that law and all those things. Come to my garden, my beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am his, and his banner over me is love. Come to my garden. Come away. As we read this passage, come away with me, my love. I was in my devotions a few months ago, and I heard the Lord so clearly say, come away with me. Come away with me. And that can be metaphorically, that we can't really leave, but sometimes it's good just to go somewhere on a retreat, to go away. As Jesus did with the Father, he went away to the wilderness. He went away to the mountains. He went away to the seashore. How long has it been since you heard the Lord calling you? Come away. Come away with me, my love. Come away with me. That's a call that I think that he is issuing to us. This rabbi also said, all scripture is holy, but the Song of Songs is the holy of holies. It's the holy of holies. If this garden is a temple, then we are called into the bridal chamber. We're called into the banquet of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're called into the very divine presence. Isn't that wonderful? That we no longer stand back and gaze. The angels who stood outside the Garden of Eden. Now the Lord is saying, I have made a way. I have made a way for you to come into my verdant, wonderful life. And there's just so much in this book. If you were to go through, and I encourage you to do this, look at all of the wonderful, lush, verdant, organic life. Let me just list some of this for you. What's in this garden? There's wine, anointing oil, the sun, the flowers, the vineyards, frankincense, nard, myrrh, saffron, aloe, gold, silver, henna blossoms, cedar, lily of the valley, apples and apple trees, raisins, fig trees, pomegranates. They grow them in Israel and they get real big. And you can buy them on the street there and just lusciously eat those pomegranates. There are lions, there are leopards, there are goats, there are sheep, there are deer, there are flowing springs and honey and honeycomb. My husband keeps bees. And our bees are really busy right now. I'm not bothering them at all. There is milk along with that honey. There's cloves. There's wheat. There's ravens. There's doves. There's mountains, there's hills, there's grass. I could just go on. You get it? You get what it is? The ancient church, oh, 3rd, 4th, 5th century, they talked about the two books. They said God's revelation has come to us in two books, creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day they utter forth his law. It's the book. And then there's the book of Scripture. In the story of King Josiah, they were cleaning out the temple, and they had lost the book of the law. Can you believe that? I find that hard to believe, but they had. So they're cleaning out the debris from the temple, and they find this book. And they go to King Josiah and say, well, we found a book. And he has it read and tears his clothes. The book of the law had been forgotten. It had just been lost. Can you imagine? I believe the book of creation has been lost to us modern Christians. Scripture is, as I said, you know, Scripture to me is, it's just everything. But that book of creation goes hand in hand with it. You have crowned the morning and the evening, sing forth praise, the sunrise, the sunset. You go through the Scripture. You cannot read the Scripture. Take all references out of the creation, and you don't have much left. Jesus and his teachings are all about this creation, this wonderland. And we, I believe, are being called to it as Christians living in the 21st century who prefer being next to a plug-in. I believe we're being called somehow to find a little space, to hear the Lord saying, come away with me. Come away with me. Do you not hear the sound of the turtle dove? Can you hear it? The birds this morning were just, you know, that first one that you hear that starts it out right before sunrise, they somehow know. And then the others start, and before long, it's beautiful, beautiful music. I live near the mountains, East Tennessee, and I can just get very quickly to a rushing stream and mountains, and all of that is just so beautiful. So this morning, do you hear the call of the Lord? Come away with me, my love. The winter is past. The rains have ceased. The hurricanes have come and gone. The flowers are blooming. The time of singing has come. The time of singing has come. The earth sings. The morning stars sing together. The whole earth sings in harmony. Harmony of the earth. Do you long to be embraced by the lover of your soul? To have the Lord pick you up and mirror to this? So when he says, come away, he also says, let me hold you. Like when a couple goes off together and they just want to love on each other. I just want to love on you. I just want to love on you. And here we go with that mirroring again, where the Lord just lavishes love on us, on our body, on our face, on us. We're not Gnostic spirits who just have to deal with a body. We are inspirited flesh. And there's like a Möbius band. It's not like you put a spirit in a body. But our body is a universe of energy and matter and electricity. And I mean, it's like its own little separate universe. It's alive with wonder. Billions of organisms live in our body and on our body, and it's so wonderful. And when the Lord lavishes love on us, he's lavishing love on our whole being. That's why healing is in the redemption of Christ, because salvation is creation healed, the broken repaired, the sick made well. Sick souls brought into salvation. All shall be well. All shall be made whole. I long for that time because we do live in broken creation. As beautiful it is, we have terrible hurricanes, devastating fires. They are getting worse and worse. And I think we're in the birth pains of the new creation. But before that, it's going to get bad, I think. Even more so, we should be able to hear the Lord call to us, come away, my fair one. Come away, my love. The kingdom of God is its own wonderland. And here's the great mystery. The cross is a wonderland. We were singing that this morning. Amanda's wonderful leading. See his wounded hands, his feet. In the cross of Christ, I glory. In the cross of Christ, I find my peace and salvation. And the cross is such a horrible symbol of torture. How can that be? What's a double negative makes a positive. Death cancels death. How wonderful. How wonderful that is. So, you know, that newborn baby is such a wonderland. And the smell of that baby is so delightful. But there's something precious about the death of a saint. The old Methodist would rush to the bed of some sanctified person dying. And they wanted to be there because the veil gets real thin. And like with my dad, sometimes it was half here, half there. And we thought he was gone. And then he was thinking, I need to take care of those babies. And we're 40, but he wanted, he comes back. Yeah. And my husband said, Sam, are you afraid of dying? My dad looked at him like, afraid? If you could see what I'm seeing, you would never be afraid. And so they used to write down what they saw, like, what are you seeing? A woman who lives in the town where I live, a precious saint, she was dying, and she would be talking to, people who were already over on that side. And then she said to her daughter, those angels are so much taller than I thought they would be. Wow, do you see them? They're so tall. And then sometime during the night, she passed. And her daughters were awakened by this scent. Like, you walk into a florist and you just smell. They said, who is just, it's the middle of the night. Where are these flowers? And they went to her room and the scent was just pouring out. The fragrance of life overcoming the stench of death. There is the stench of death. We know that. But there's also the fragrance of life. And so just as a newborn baby has the fragrance of life, so the death of the precious saint of God bears the fragrance of eternal life that just comes across the veil and covers. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And just as the face is what a baby longs for. The first thing you see. When we cross over, the Lord is saying, come away with me, my beloved. And there it is. We shall see him face to face. We shall know him. We shall know him in his fullness. We shall be in the light eternal. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what we long for? So that we can go as in the book of Revelation and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So the Lord says to us, come away with me, my beloved. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come to me. Come, Lord Jesus. Make all things new. This world is so beautiful, but it is broken. I find it a place of your glory, but how much more glorious is it going to be? You think that you're going to heaven when you die? Not really. You're not going to this escape place. You'll be there until the Lord comes in the Lord. But when the Lord comes back and there's the resurrection, heaven and earth embrace. Heaven's coming to earth. There's a new heaven and a new earth. You're not up there in some clouds. There is heaven coming to earth. Behold, as Revelation says, the home of God is now among mortals. How wonderful. The new Jerusalem. And if the Song of Songs is beautiful, look what you see in Revelation. The crystal river, the leaves of those trees for the healing of the nations, and the light that never goes out. For he is the light, the Lamb of God will be our light. We will be in the wonderland. We will be in eternity. That is so, so wonderful. And we have the tasting room. We have the seal of the Spirit. We have a foretaste. So that which has been placed in you and you and you by the Spirit is there calling out. Calling out. Because you've got eternity right here. And it's calling. 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 Sometimes we drown it out, don't we? But when you get into the deepest form of prayer, when you're in that deep form of prayer, where words lead into groans and sighs, you can hear the Spirit groaning with all creation in you and through you. Come, come, come. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love. The Lord has lavished us with love. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We live in a wonderland. But it's not our eternal home. We're journeying to that eternal home. But while we journey, there are springs in the wilderness. There are flowing rivers. There's verdant pomegranates. There's poppy to drink. There's all this stuff that's wonderful. Don't not like the material world just to be spiritual. Love it. Love your spouse's body. Take time to read to each other the Song of Songs. And I think we did that once, my husband and I, in a seminary class, and our daughter happened to be visiting, and oh my goodness, how to embarrass your children, 101. Like, what did y'all just do, Mom? Like, you know, when you're trying to walk beside them at the mall, this was 10 times worse. 10 times worse than that. But this is such a verdant book, Song of Songs is. And don't be shy about it. It's so wonderful. Let the Lord lavish his love on you today. And would you just try to hear his voice as it says to you, come away from the plug. Come away from the smartphone. Come away from Netflix. Come away, come away. Come away with me. Come away with me, my love. For the night is past, the winter is past, and now is a time for singing. I pray this spring for you will be a time of verdant life, of lushness, of light, of love, of joy, of singing, of dancing. Just allow the Lord to love on you. Just allow the Lord to love on you. You're worthy. You are worthy. You may think you're not, but oh, goodness, you are. You're a wonderland.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.